Ryan, we're back, baby. Episode two.
We're back.
We're back. We had a good one today. We talked about just about everything we could, I think. We hit some of our skit videos, some of our challenge videos. We talked, we went at the comments a little bit. The comments were coming at us.
Yeah, if you're going to come at us, we're going to come at you.
We're going to come at you. So relax. Have fun for that. With that. We talked a little bit about some actual PGA, some actual golf, like the pros, and who we think maybe should be our favorite. We talked a little U.S. Open, and then we went off script a little bit and did some non-golf stuff. We talked about the woods. We were hunting. Ryan and I are bow hunters, and we've talked about the opening first weekend of Minnesota bow season, and we may or may not have had a little bit of success, Ryan.
You'll have to find out later in the podcast. But Tyler, I think for now, let's just get into the show.
Let's do it.
Hey, you piped that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
What's up, guys, and welcome to episode two of the Breakfast Balls podcast. I am Ryan the T-shirt guy, here with none other than Tyler the camera guy.
What's up?
The merch is wide open on the website. The Breakfast Balls merch, from hats to polos. It's all at oubetcha.com. The Breakfast Ball merch has been rocking, and you guys can go get your golf drip today. As the millennial kids would say, that drip.
Jake says drip unironically.
Yeah.
It's like, check out that drip.
It's become like day-to-day lingo for him.
Yeah. I've actually enjoyed. Let's make that a segment. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Jake's talking.
Because we'll talk about that. It is relevant to the podcast because Jake is the camera guy for Breakfast Balls.
Mm-hmm.
We do a really good job of just making him follow us around, sitting in the cart, and telling him to get the fucking camera ready, because we're gonna film,
because it's never ready.
So it's kind of nice, because then Tyler gets to switch positions into the content role versus the camera role, and uh-huh. He knows how things should be done, and we like to bust Jake's balls a little bit on the course, so we will get into that later. But guys, remember, all the merch, oubetcha.com, oubetcha.com. And if you didn't listen to episode one, remember, guys, we are a sub brand of the You Betcha brand, of Miles the You Betcha guy. We're having fun with this Breakfast Balls golf content, and we're gonna keep coming at you with it. Tyler,
Ryan,
we've had some videos lately. Some of them popped off.
They did good.
Most of them have been popping off, and that's super exciting for us.
Yes.
Because we put a lot of effort into these videos. Mm-hmm. If you guys think golf is frustrating, you should try golfing and trying to shoot a skip video at the same time.
Oh, my God.
For me, I don't know about you, and you can answer this in a second, Tyler. For me, it's gotten to the point where I won't even finish out the hole. There's not a lot of holes that I'll putt into the cup, take it out, move on to the next one. I'll chip on, and then I'll just go grab my ball and leave.
Yeah, as long as you get the shot.
Exactly. Yep. It's all about the shot. Now, weekend golf is different. Weekend golf for me is that's time to buckle down and get after it, because I'm probably usually playing for money, doing something like that. But during the week, golf is tough because we're shooting a video at the same time.
So I don't know if it's because we started shooting our golf stuff, but I have completely reverted to my pre-golfing self. Do you remember the very first golf video we shot with Miles in like beginning of June? I golfed with you guys and shot that video at the same time. And I played horribly.
In Perm.
And then you guys played with me and I got better and better and better. I'm back to that beginning and I don't know why. I think it's because when I first started, I was only trying to swing and make it feel comfortable and hit the ball solid.
Yep.
And once I did that, I got way better. But now everybody's been ripping on my swing. So I've been watching tips and I've been trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong and what I should be doing right. And now I can't hit the ball freaking 100 yards off the tee box ever.
How many times do you go to the driving range per week?
Once. No, not recently, but I was going once.
So anywhere from zero to one times.
Zero to one time a week.
Not enough.
But when I was playing good, I didn't go at all. I just golfed a shitload.
But there also wasn't that extra factor in your head of like, I need to maybe fix my swing, or I need to fix this.
Right. I shouldn't fix my swing. People, they can get off my back. I'm going to start swinging shitty again and start playing better.
Yeah. No, and that's what it's all about, honestly. We'll get into this in segment number two of or segment two and three, U.S. Open, who our favorite golfer should be, all this kind of stuff. Prime example, Tyler, Matthew Wolf.
Right.
Look at his swing and don't tell me that there's how many people out there that were telling him, dude, you got to change your swing. That's so unorthodox. Like you can't be doing that. Like what do you, guy finished second. We'll get into that later. As far as your skill level from when we golfed earlier this summer, night and day.
Not to right now. Now it's night and night.
But you go through those streaks though. Go through those streaks. Like I'll go through a phase where I'll hit, you know, plus 18, plus 20 through 18, mm-hmm. which is really like, to me, if I'm hitting plus 15 or over, really bad. I've hit plus 15 through 9 and holy shit, is that demoralizing.
Oh yeah, that was my average round.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, for me, it's kind of like sports betting where you go on a cold streak and then you come on a hot streak and your cold streak is right now. So
Right
when the cold hits. But I think once we can get into a simulator, we can start hitting some balls more.
Yeah, because then you don't have to have that demoralizing, like, what do they call it? The walk of shame the next morning. Like if you stayed at someone's house the night before and you have to walk of shame back to your house.
Yep.
It's like the walk of shame when you have to walk to your shanked drive.
Oh, God.
You don't have to do that in a simulator.
No.
The walk of shame is eliminated.
Yeah, the walk of shame is eliminated. And again, we'll get into that talk later in the podcast. Tyler, let's talk about some of our latest videos that we've done for the Breakfast Ball page. We did the speed run, which is essentially a speed walk. It's a speed walking challenge mm-hmm. because what we did was we both teed off at the same time. It was about a 450-yard par four.
Yep.
A little bit of water, about 290 to 300 off to the right. Fairway is a hook to the left. We teed off at the same time and placing that first drive exactly where you want it is key because you don't want to take the 10 second penalty.
Yep.
Now the rules of this is there's no running.
Yes, correct. Cause one, because I didn't want to run.
I didn't either.
Two, I don't want us to, because we're competitive.
Yep.
I didn't want us to run on the green.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And that would have been bad news bears because we do have golf etiquette despite some of the shenanigans that we're up to when we're out there. We do try to respect the course. So like you said, absolutely no running, tee off at the same time. But here's where there's a little gray area for us when we shot this video. Both of us had different ideas of how the 10 second penalty worked.
Yep.
So what we started a timer right before we hit our drivers at the exact same time. And we knew that there was a chance that we would lose some balls.
Oh, yeah. Especially on this hole.
Yes.
There's water. Let's just...
Yeah, there's water and what do you call it? There's fescue.
Fescue.
Fescue. Yep. Super tall grass.
Yep.
All around for the outside the rough. And so we decided that there would be a 10-second penalty if you lost your ball so we didn't have to spend the whole speed run searching for our balls.
Correct.
You thought that you had to stop and count to 10. I thought that we would just add the 10 seconds onto the end of the timer.
Sure.
So in the video, you're just standing there counting to 10.
Yep.
And then I lose my ball and I just keep going.
Yeah.
And so there's a little controversy going on in the comment sections. Like, did I really win? Did someone misinterpret the rules?
What's I wasn't going to say anything, but thankfully somebody pointed it out.
Yeah. Well, I didn't misinterpret the rules. You did.
I misinterpreted the rules. Correct.
But I look like the cheater.
So, but there was also not a timer on the video. So how would we have known final times?
I had the time in my pocket and I hit it when I put it in the hole.
Okay. Okay. See,
we should have game planned better. That wasn't the point. It was funny to hear us and how out of shape we are. I am.
It was, let's talk about like, to compare that to something of like a 100-yard sprint. Like this is a 450-yard speed walk. Very comparable in my mind to like a 100-yard sprint. Dead tired,
mm-hmm.
maximum effort. You got that cold feeling in your chest. And
it's a little tight.
You know, like you start talking.
Yeah, I coughed the whole next hole.
Yeah, coughed the whole next hole. Yep. And back to us just not playing holes out when we're shooting content. That's what it was for the rest of the round.
Mm-hmm. We did that. We played 9. We did that on 7.
Yep.
So 8 and 9. We're basically stricken from the record.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing about shooting these videos too. It's like typically we play early in the morning. Anywhere from 8 to 8:30 is when we'll tee off. We try to get the first one of the day just so we can kind of just get out there and get moving. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of pick the right hole to do these videos on. And if that means skipping a hole so you can get a full hole ahead of the people behind you,
right,
to do that, that's what it takes. And that's why I haven't put as much pressure on myself to play decent when we're shooting videos.
Oh, you can't. There's no way to do it.
You would go absolutely, you'd quit golf.
Yep.
If that was the case.
Yeah. Just now imagine the pros. They play on camera every single round.
Yeah.
They don't have to act. So what's harder, shooting skits or playing in the PGA? Shooting skits for sure.
We should shoot a skit with a PGA player to see who does better in the other's shoes.
Like, we know they'll kill us in the actual round of golf,
but we might kill them in acting.
We would crush them in acting.
And we suck at acting, but we're going to get better.
Yes. What? We got to get them to just be in a skit and then have the audience decide who's the better actor.
Yes. So much less pressure on us.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, this is what
we're
in
our element. We're kings now.
Exactly. Exactly. Another video we've recently done, Tyler, is, playing a little game, adding in a little bit of fun when you're waiting at the tee box for the people up ahead of you. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, I actually, when you feel like you're playing slow, I get a little bit anxious. I get a little bit nervous because I don't like making people wait. And it honestly, it makes me play worse because I just want to like go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm waiting on other groups, if I'm ever behind you on a course, whatever it is, do not be mad that I'm waiting behind you because in Jake's terms, I low-key love that.
Waiting?
I love waiting at the tee box, just kind of hanging out because it prolongs the round. If I'm going golfing, I want to prolong this baby as long as I can.
I'm in the middle of the road. Like if people are being, like if you're getting up to the tee box and they're still standing on the tee box and there's no one in front of them, what the hell are you doing?
Then that's tough.
Hit the ball.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. But at the same time, if there's a group, you got to think about like the group behind you probably has the same mindset that you do.
Yeah.
And you're worrying about it for no reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But when you are waiting at the tee box for that group ahead of you, we like to play a little game that we at Breakfast Balls like to call Rat Race. Now, I get it. If you're in the comments, you're saying this game's called Poison or this game's called
one of them was
Suicide or
There was like a pills. Someone called it PILS.
Okay.
All right. But think about it. Everyone that's mad in the comments, how many sports have different names?
Exactly.
The biggest sport in the entire world is football or soccer.
Soccer.
Holy shit, two names, Ryan. Oh, wow.
Yes. So we, in our previous video, were playing Rat Race. And what Rat Race is to us is you got your tee box. We play from blue, so you got your blue tee boxes, right?
I should be playing from whites.
We should be playing from reds or even yellows. We should play from yellows sometime.
That'd be
play from the yellows and see what our score is like after that.
It's going to be so much. I'd probably play worse.
Well, naturally, I play worse on par threes, which are obviously shorter than par four, par five.
Mm-hmm.
So playing from yellows, I would probably play worse also throughout a round of nine.
I don't even think, do any of the courses around here have yellows?
Oh, yeah. They all do. You just don't see them because they're 50 yards from the green.
Okay. Perfect.
It's the junior tee box.
Okay.
Anyway, Rat Race. You got your tee box. You got, you both start on one side, right? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot to see who goes first. The goal on the first shot is to hit the other tee box, right? Once you hit the other tee box, it's alternating shots. Once you hit the other tee box, you go back to the original one that you started from. Once you hit that one, you are on the hunt for the other person's ball. Now, you hit your second tee box, you have to hit the other person's ball for the game to be over. What we probably didn't do correct in the shoot.
Yeah, I did mess up once. Not the name. Get off my back about the name. If you hit the marker, you're supposed to get a second shot.
Yes.
And I did forget that rule, but...
But it doesn't matter because it's our game. That's how we played it.
Yeah, we invent... So Rat Race is just a completely brand new game that we invented.
Did anyone else call it Rat Race in the comments?
One other person's like, oh, I love this game.
Yeah.
but no one's like...
So they never confirmed it really though.
No.
They just said they won the game.
Yeah.
I liked that one because I've actually played that one time before. My buddy Adam showed me that game. And it's kind of fun because you and I we've putted with drivers before. We've mm-hmm. done the reverse club challenge and putted with drivers. So just to burn a little bit of time, if we were playing on a weekend, we probably would have had a couple beers in us.
Oh yeah.
Playing some rat race.
Well, that's the number one move when you're waiting for a group in front of you is finish your beer.
Finish
and
beer.
Then if they're still in front of you, then you play rat race. And poison then, pills, whatever you want to call it.
And then if they're still in front of you, then you just get more beers.
Yep. Yep. So we gave you option two. Option one is drink your beer.
Yeah. So that was a fun little game too. And if you guys have another name for it, make sure you toss it in the comments because I'm sure Tyler would love to hear what other names there are for what we have deemed as rat race. And if you guys haven't played that game yet, next time you're waiting for the group ahead of you, get some rat race going. Get some stakes. Get the stakes high. Maybe next round's on loser or $10 is on loser, whatever it may be.
People are calling for a tiebreaker for us. That was in the comments.
Deal.
Because we're 1-1.
Yeah, we're 1-1. Easy.
That might, yeah.
But we have to keep the same exact rules.
Yes, we can't change the rules just because there's been complaints.
Exactly. So we will settle this at one time because Tyler won the first round. I won the second round. If you guys haven't checked out the video yet, you'll have to go check it out at breakfast.balls on Instagram and just breakfastball on Facebook. Our handle on Facebook, Tyler, I changed it. It's actually at breakfastballyb.
Okay.
Because at this point, there's a lot of shit that Breakfast Ball covers from
right.
food to golf to all that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. we are deeming ourselves as breakfast.balls IG.
Yeah, we got to stick with that
yep.
for sure.
Yep.
So we talked a little bit about bringing in some pros, right? And challenging them to acting. I wouldn't know what pro to pick because I don't have a favorite golfer. I just got into golf. I just started paying attention to who's playing it. Obviously, everyone and their brother knows Tiger. They know Phil. They know Arnold Palmer. They know the greats, right?
Yep.
But the greats right now aren't really a thing. Like Tiger and Phil are there, but they're past their prime.
Yeah.
And I know Bryson DeChambeau, I know Rory, I know Spieth, I know Ricky Fowler, but I don't know which one I like. So
yeah.
Who do you think should be my favorite golfer?
Well, that's the beautiful part about this podcast, Tyler, is because we are in no means trying to we're not golf experts.
Mm-mm.
We're not trying to deem ourselves as golf experts. We are your classic. If we weren't shooting skip videos, we'd be your classic one time a week. We're going to go out and golf 18 with the boys. We're going to have a good time. We're going to hit shitty shots. We're going to hit one good shot that's going to bring us back the next time.
Yep.
We're Midwest golfers. That's what we are. And right now that we're getting into the space more, we need a favorite golfer. Even though Miles does not have a favorite football team, and it's Miles, you bet you guys, a football guy, he played D2 college football. It doesn't matter. We need a golfer.
We do. Well, the thing with watching it is I watch it and I recognize some of these names and I respect some of the shots they're making, but I don't have anyone to root for.
So here's where I've been lately. You talked about Tiger and Phil and even Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus, he played a hole at Payne's Valley, Tiger's new course,
really?
Which is actually in Missouri. So we should maybe get down there. And it's $225 a round.
Which is honestly surprisingly cheap for a
bad.
Tiger executive course.
Yeah, not bad at all. So what I see right now in the golf world is there's a lot of spurts, a lot of potential for greatness. There is the Rory McIlroy. The reason Rory McIlroy ended up on getting his own video game, Rory McIlroy PGA Tour 2K 2014 or whatever mm-hmm. it was because there was a stint where Rory McIlroy was absolutely on fire. And if you had money down on Rory McIlroy, you were coming out a winner. Now, things have tailed off a little bit. Rory hasn't won in a while. Same thing with Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth, youngest guy to win however many majors or whatever it was, he's died off again.
Mm-hmm.
You got guys like Bryson DeChambeau, who 27 years old. He's won a couple times. He won an amateur tournament. He won the U.S. Open. We'll see if he can continue that. Like Tiger has through how many years winning Tiger's won like Again, not golf experts. 18 majors?
I have no idea. A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. I would say it's probably more than that.
Yeah. You also got guys like Colin Morikawa, I believe 23 years old, who has won multiple events this year.
That makes me feel old.
Is that gonna continue?
Yeah.
So it's hard to compare today's golfers with like the Tigers and the Jack Nicklauses, the guys who were just so clutch for so long. And those guys are, you know, they're losing it a little bit. They're losing strength, but they definitely still have the experience that keeps them in the game.
I think what we should do, Ryan, I think that we should come up with three golfers that we think the other person should be a fan of.
Okay.
Kind of like we pitched hobbies to Miles. We'll pitch golfers to each other, and then we'll circle back next week and we'll come out with our favorite golfer that we will be fans of and watch for the rest of the, at least the season, or if not the next couple seasons.
Yep. I like that. I like that idea. And where we are, we're in a position where like, we're not getting super technical with like, you know, I really like Justin Thomas because if you guys can hear that right now, is absolutely
raining?
Downpouring right now.
Damn, I thought like someone just showed up and turned on all the fans.
No. You look at guys like Justin Thomas or these kind of middle of the pack guys, and you like them because they do this certain kind of thing really well that you also do out on the course. We're not there. Our favorite golfer is probably going to be the guy at the top because he's the funnest to watch. And we want to be able to get really excited about golf. And if we can cheer for the guy who is getting people really excited on a weekly basis, that's probably what we're going to go with. So yeah, we might be hopping on the bandwagon.
A little bit. That's fine. I feel like that's fine for, if you're starting off as a golf fan, jumping on the bandwagon is a great place to start. And then your favorite, your number one guy can evolve from there because you're actually consuming golf now.
Exactly. So we're going to hit that topic next week. I'm going to come with three that I think Tyler would like. He's going to come with three that he thinks I would like. We're going to settle that here on the podcast next week. But talking a little bit about the U.S. Open, Tyler, Bryson takes home the trophy. He's 27 years old. I am also 27 years old. And to see someone...
And you guys drive at the same distance, right?
We basically drive at the same distance. No, that is one that I cannot ever compete with. I like to pride myself on hitting piss missiles off the tee box. It happens maybe two, three times a round, and it's a great feeling, but the other seven or eight holes is, we won't talk about those. Bryson DeChambeau, 27 years old, same age as me, a couple years older than Tyler. He wins the U.S. Open, and I feel like why it's such a big deal. One, because he's young, and two, Tyler, because he plays the game so much differently than everyone else.
So, how so?
So, if you've seen his body stature over the last, I would say, two to three to four years, let's just say 3 or 4 years ago, he was probably a buck 85, buck 90. Like, he kind of just looked like your average built golfer.
Mm-hmm.
But in his mind is like, if he can put some weight on, if he can hit the weights hard, if he can hit the ball harder, he knows that he is strong enough to hit the ball out of the rough and take some shots on some very long drives. He knows he's strong enough to hit it out of the rough to possibly scramble his way to a good hole. So he took the approach of like, let's try and hit the ball farther than all these
guys.
Bully ball. And let's see if we can work ourselves out of some not so great situations by just having some extra muscle, some extra strength behind the club by doing that. And he showed in the U.S. Open that he that philosophy does not work.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the proof's in the pudding.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you win one of the biggest events of the entire year, no one can say shit about how you play.
Well, it's like... so many people were doubting like his stature and how much weight he's put on. Also, you talk about technicality. Bryson has a huge book that he will look into 3 to 4 times per shot.
Really?
Before he hits the ball. And his caddy's the same way. His caddy probably works harder than he does. But they had him mic'd up in the last round of the U.S. Open, and just some of the stuff that he was saying to himself. He'd be 80 yards out for a chip shot. He would literally walk 80 yards onto the green, and he would walk around the green a little bit, feel it out for which way she's rolling, what the grass is looking like, how the wind feels. He'd come back, he'd take a couple practice swings, he'd look back into his book, and he'd hit the ball. And it was just so unbelievable seeing all those thoughts go through his head. And then when it came down to taking a shot, it all left and he made the shot.
That's wild.
Now, for a lot of people, that could really mess with you.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
When I start thinking about golf too much, and when you start thinking about golf too much, that's when we start playing very, very bad.
Yeah, I just need to start drinking more on the course in the mornings. But
well, that's what we don't do during our skits, which we need to start doing. Yeah.
But you talked about his hole being strong enough to hit it out of the rough. No better place to do it than
Wingfoot.
Holy shit, that rough was unbelievable.
Did you watch the documentary on the grounds crew? Remember that tweet that you told me to respond to? That was the video.
Yeah, I just watched the trailer. I didn't watch the whole thing.
Okay. Phenomenal grass at Wingfoot. The grounds crew team there, it's literally like you're playing a professional sport.
Damn.
Like you were drafted onto that team to tend to the greens and the fairways and the rough at Wingfoot for the US Open. You were drafted because you're really good at being a groundskeeper. And then you got the head guy who could quite possibly just, you know, join the military and become, you know, top
drill
rank.
Sergeant.
Exactly. It's what it felt like. But that documentary is pretty cool, just going through the groundskeepers and what their team looks like leading up to the US Open. Because that was literally the talk of the commentators the whole entire time.
Yeah, so if this grounds crew is so amazing, in my mind, that rough looked really shitty. Like, they did a bad job at it, but I don't know. Did they do that on purpose?
Yes.
Did they miss a day?
It's almost like it was too long.
Yeah, it looked like it was almost out of bounds rough, not regular rough.
And that was the point of it. That was to make the course a little bit harder. Now, I believe at Wingfoot, don't quote me on this, it might have been a different course, but I believe at Wingfoot, they moved the tee boxes for the pros back like 80 yards.
Really?
So the goal now is like, now that you get guys like Bryson who can drive the ball 340, 350 on average, it's like, how do we make these courses harder for these pros because they're crushing it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's, like you mentioned, he's the only one strong enough to hit it accurately out of that rough. And then he came out with the win, so.
Exactly. So that the documentary on how the rough is prepared and what, you know, the fertilizer and what goes into it and how many hours people have been spending taking care of this stuff. Honestly, it got the attention it deserved because it's literally what everyone talked about the whole entire tournament.
Yeah, but it just seemed negative to me. I don't know. I thought it seemed like a lot of people were just bitching about it.
Because it was tougher.
Yeah.
And because the only person to finish under par was Bryson DeChambeau, the winner. Everyone else, Matthew Wolf, who got second, 21 years old, by the way. That's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He finished even par. Everyone else was plus one or worse.
Is that's the first time that's ever happened, right?
In a US Open, I believe so.
Okay.
Not ever, but in a US Open, I believe so.
God, that's insane. Imagine what we would have shot there.
That's the thing. Like, that's why I love this page, is because we can get ourselves to a point where if we keep putting out good content and keep hitting it home, we can literally get to a point where we could potentially play one of these courses.
Yeah, they would kick me off after about hole three.
Well, Tyler, if you listen to the people in the comments, you might make a couple tweaks to your swing and might start looking better.
Nah.
Don't do that.
No.
You just play you.
All the golf coaches in the comments can eat my shit.
Well, and you are self-taught, correct?
Yeah.
I'm also self-taught.
100%.
And for me, it was honestly like, how can I make my swing look like a professional swing? Like, obviously not. I'm not. Mm-hmm. It's not going to look like that. But the closer I can do that and make solid ball contact, I feel like everything else will kind of just start to fall into place. But I feel like having a nice swing is just feels good, and the pros are doing it. So if I can work myself to having a nicer swing, shit might work out a little bit better.
Then we'll be playing at the US Open in 10 years. You'll be the Chris Coast of PGA, the oldest rookie.
The 36-year-old rookie or the 35-year-old rookie.
Yep.
Kind of like that, Tyler. It's never, that just shows you it's never too late.
Ryan's going to get too big for us and then just leave.
It's never too late.
I think I got to run to the bathroom. Let's take a quick break.
Yeah, we'll take our first break and we'll...
what are we coming back with?
We're going to come back with a little non-golf talk, but also Midwest hobby talk. Tyler shot a deer.
Woods golf. That's what I call it.
Woods golf. All right, guys, we are back. The morning pee break is done. We want this podcast to be golf centered because that is part of us now. We run a page where golfing is that's the center of the page. So
first and foremost,
we're gonna have a lot of golf talk on this podcast, but we also want to talk about other stuff in our lives that is relatable to the kind of golfers that we are. We're the Midwest golfers who maybe show up 5 minutes before tee time. Maybe take a couple, 2-3 extra breakfast balls each round. Maybe take a mulligan here and there. We like to just have fun with that kind of stuff. And another thing that we are also into is hunting, whether that's waterfowl or upland game or big game hunting. So I think, Tyler, going forward, what we'll probably do is we'll probably start the podcast with some golf talk, some current events, some golf talk, what we're doing in the breakfast balls world. And then we'll get into a little bit of... our Midwest hobby talk. And right now, what a beautiful time of year.
Oh, it's the best time of year.
Bow hunting.
Mm-hmm.
NFL football.
Mm-hmm.
NHL playoffs.
Still nice enough to golf.
Fall golf. There's so much stuff going on right now. And it's still nice enough where we're at here in North Dakota to be outside and be able to do all those things. But... bow hunting runs for, at least in North Dakota, I don't know about Minnesota, Tyler, but it runs usually to January 1st.
Yeah, the last night you can hunt in Minnesota is December 31st.
Okay.
So essentially the first.
There's a lot of time to bow hunt left, but there's no better time than the first couple weeks.
Right. Well, I mean, the rut is obviously going to be the prime time for everybody.
Yep.
But there's nothing better than like, because... September is hit or miss in our neck of the woods. It can either be 95 degrees or 45 and crisp. Luckily, I got something right in the middle. The opening morning, it was, I think, 53 degrees with a south wind.
Yep.
And it was just a little bit chilly. Like there was dew on the grass, but no frost.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an absolute perfect early season morning hunt. And, got the job done.
Got the job done early. And I didn't expect that, actually.
Me either.
I hunt North Dakota. Tyler hunts Minnesota. But I am going to be hunting Minnesota this year with Tyler. For one, I think it's always fun to have a hunting buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And for two, like, we're going to try and get some content out of it.
Yep.
So, and for three, we both bow hunt. Now, no one else that we work with bow hunts. No one else really...
None of my friends do either, like outside of work.
Yeah.
And one buddy, but he lives a long ways away.
So. Yeah. So I would say that's, besides golf, that's one thing that we also have in common. So we're gonna start doing some bow hunting together. And it a couple weeks ago we went and hung some stands?
Yeah, about almost a month ago.
Okay.
Now we went out and we hung. So it's like the family farm. In Minnesota, because Ryan didn't get drawn in North Dakota this year. So he's got to find somewhere in Minnesota to hunt. And obviously, my rule is if you help hang stands, you help manage the land, you're free to hunt there as much as you want.
Yep.
So Ryan came out and helped me and Grandpa. We hung three bow stands. There was one already set up. And then there's a tripod you can also bow hunt out of.
Yep.
So we've got five setups. Ryan, you brought your ladder stand.
Yep.
And opening morning, Ryan couldn't go, so I snuck into his stand.
What are the odds of that? Step on the land right away. Bring my own stand. Set it up and, I wouldn't expect Tyler to put me in the best spot. But apparently, he put me in one of the better spots because you got the job done basically right away.
So your spot... There's this one chunk, the northeast 40. I don't want to touch it until the rut. I want to make it like just a haven for deer.
Yep.
And your stand and that haven spot are the only two bow stands that you can hunt with a southeast wind.
Okay.
So I didn't have many options because I didn't want to mess up my haven, and yours I could sneak into early. I was running maybe 15 minutes late. So I snuck right into yours.
Sounds like me at the golf course.
Yep. So I snuck in and I pulled up the truck on the south end of the field. I pulled into the field and parked the truck instead of parking at the house so I could sneak into the woods so the wind is good. And as soon as I turned into the field, there was three deer standing right where I was going to park. And it was like 20 minutes to shooting light. And I was like, God damn it. I just blew it. I blew it. I boogered up Ryan's stand. I'm not going to get anything today. I screwed up big time. And so I got in the stand, just absolutely didn't think I would see a damn thing.
Yeah.
And one doe came out, and I haven't shot a deer with my bow in years, right? Yeah. And one doe came out and she was messing around in front of me, kind of playing the eating acorns game, not coming out to the field. And we set Ryan's stand up on a natural clover plot.
Clovers?
Yeah, it's clover.
A four-leaf clover plot.
Yes, yes.
So it's a lucky stand.
It is a very lucky stand. And on the other side of that clover is beans. So I knew if this deer wanted some friggin' beans, she'd have to walk across this empty clover plot. Because she doesn't want clover yet. She wants them damn beans.
Yep.
So she leaves. She's gone. I'm like, all right, hunt's over. That was the one deer I was going to see today.
Yep.
She came right back to the exact same spot.
Because she saw a four-leaf clover.
She saw a four-leaf clover. She didn't see me because this stand was set up great. Not to brag by us. And she snuck out. She was headed straight for the beans, head down. Not a care in the world. I mapped her. That's what I call you, give them the meh, and then they stop.
Yep.
25 yards, double lunged, ran 40 yards, meat in the freezer, baby. Meat in the freezer.
Yeah, no, that's great. And you sent me the picture. I'm like, holy smokes. Now, if I was hunting in North Dakota, I wouldn't have done that because the way our states are structured is you apply for your doe tag or you apply for your bow tag online, you automatically get it. But you still have to apply for it online because when it was over the counter and rifle tags were really hard to draw in North Dakota, people would just go buy a bow tag over the counter and shoot it with their rifle. Terrible people, by the way.
Yeah.
So they made it a little bit harder to get that bow tag in North Dakota by doing it online. So what you do is you just buy it online. You can shoot buck or doe, but you don't get a bonus tag like you can in Minnesota.
Okay.
Or however that system works. So you're going for a buck and a buck only for about 2 to 3 months until you can get one. Last resort, you're shooting a doe. But in Minnesota,
you only get to kill one deer.
Correct. With a bow. With a bow.
And that, so if you shoot one with a bow, you can't shoot one with a rifle?
No.
Or can you?
No. If you get drawn for a rifle tag, you got your rifle tag, and then you can get your bow tag too. But you can also shoot your rifle tag with a bow, but you cannot shoot your bow tag with a rifle.
Interesting.
So if you don't draw a rifle tag, the bow tag's the only thing you got to fall back on.
Gotcha.
Now with you in Minnesota.
Yeah, you get one May. So you have to buy a buck tag for every season. So yes. I can't use my rifle tag and fill it with my bow.
Gotcha.
So I have my buck tag. Your buck tag is actually good for either or.
Okay.
But if you buy a bonus tag, you can only shoot a doe. And I put my bonus tag on it.
Tag is done.
So I could, in theory, shoot one more buck or one more doe. But if I shoot a buck with my bow, I cannot shoot one with my rifle. You are allowed only one buck a year.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I could get another bonus tag and shoot another doe with my rifle.
Okay. So a little bit of strategy that goes into that. Now, I'm just going to have one tag. I'm not going to shoot a small buck. I'm going to shoot either, middle of the road. If you got some bad genes, if you got some
management bucks,
if you got some 4x4 genes, on the land, I'll take those off your hand. Cause, the way my uncle hunts is he likes to shoot the 4x4s and get the bigger bucks, 5x5s in there. Kind of just eliminate some of the 4x4 genes. So, I mean, you just say the word and it really doesn't matter if it's a buck or a doe because it's been a while since I've shot one with my bow.
Well, yeah, if you got a bonus tag, use it, dude.
Well, I'm only going to have one tag because it's very, very expensive.
Really?
Out of state. $180. $180.
Shit.
I could almost golf Payne's Valley with $180 with a
cart. That's true. That's true.
Tyler, tell us about, you weren't really expecting to shoot a deer that morning.
No, not at all.
What happened afterwards?
Oh, yeah, shit. I forgot about that. So I wasn't expecting to shoot something. Like I said, I was running late. I didn't clear out the box of my truck at all.
Naturally.
So I drag this deer out of the woods, bring it to my truck, open my tailgate, and my driver staring me in the face. I got my golf clubs. I have my golf shoes. I have my golf pants, which are just sweatpants. I have my push cart.
Yep.
I got an empty beer case filled with found golf balls just because we lose them so much.
Nice.
And I had to shove everything into my back seat. And my back seat was already filled with my bow case, my tote of hunting clothes,
yep,
my backpack, my knives, all kinds of shit. So my back seat was literally from floor to ceiling filled with shit so I could get the deer in the box of my truck. And then I still left some stuff in the box of my truck with the deer.
And just after hearing that story and what your truck looks like, there's still blood in the bed.
Oh yeah, I didn't wash that out. 100%
still got blood. That, it also builds character. It also shows that, you know, you're a man and you drive a truck. Yep.
It's got blood in the back.
Get some blood in the back. Now, tell us the next step of the story and what happened after the fact. This actually occurred. I heard this story at the golf course on Wednesday. It started to really stink in the back of your truck.
Yeah, I messed up. So I'm a guy that doesn't like to waste any meat whatsoever.
Okay.
My philosophy is you're going to kill something, you eat all of it, you don't waste it, right?
Same here.
Including the organs.
Okay.
So I keep the heart, and the heart is honestly my favorite part of the deer to eat. And so I put it on a stick so I could carry it out of the woods, threw it in a plastic bag so it wasn't going to get gross rolling around in the box of the truck. Got home, took the deer out, skun her up, chopped her up, brought her to the meat market. Meanwhile, the heart had moved to the front of the box of my truck because of hitting the brakes, you know?
Yep.
And I had the tunnel cover down. That heart sat in the box of my truck for 3 days.
Yikes.
No, 2 days, day and a half. I don't know. Too long. And the back of my truck smelled so bad. But luckily, garbage comes today. I threw it in the garbage can underneath a bunch of shit. And the garbage truck is just going to have a nasty, rotten deer heart in the back of it.
I mean, I'm sure there's been worse that's been in a garbage truck.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
But yeah, every time I'd let my dog out to go to the bathroom, he'd just run straight to the box of my truck and start sniffing. I was like, what is he doing?
Yeah, think about, in the garbage industry, think about like come springtime when all the snow melts and everyone's got to pick their dog shit up out of the yard, throw in a bag. You literally fill up a 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah, that's gross.
You got to throw that somewhere. You're throwing it in the garbage and that's ending up in the garbage truck. That is probably even worse.
Yeah, I would agree.
So Tyler didn't finish the job. He didn't finish the job. He started it. He shot his deer, but he didn't finish it because he forgot to take the heart out.
Mm-hmm.
I've never eaten deer heart before, but oh, it's something God. That if I might have to try.
It's so good.
Yeah. And hopefully, so I'm going to be going out here in the next couple of days. Hopefully we can also get the job done. I'm looking for like a 20 to 30 yard broadside shot. But if we see a couple before that, I'm going to draw back on them and I'm just going to practice a little bit. I'm just going to get my beads set. I'm going to center in on the boiler room.
That's a dangerous game, Ryan. Once you get your pins on something, it's pretty hard not to shoot it.
Yeah, I've done it before though, and it's very good practice for me because I'm very trigger happy. Sometimes I have a hard time controlling my adrenaline.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try and go get the job done. But again, what's cool about this time of year is that I'm gonna bow hunt Sunday, and then I'm probably gonna try and golf Sunday afternoon. Depending on what happens in the morning, I might try and get a round in. And that's just the time of year we're in right now. We're in late September. There's a lot of stuff going on right now.
It's the perfect time of year.
Exactly. Sports is back. Hunting is in full swing. We got duck opener in North Dakota this weekend. I'm going to be hitting that Saturday. Pheasant hunting season's in 2 weeks. So I'm going to be hitting that hard. We're going to be climbing up in the stand. We're going to be doing all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. And obviously, we're going to keep golfing as much as we can, literally until the courses close down. And at that point, we might just follow the Canadian goose migration down south as it gets colder here and keep golfing down south. So that's another thing we got to talk about, Tyler. In the near future, we got to plan on a trip down south where we want to go. Maybe maybe we hit Payne's Valley in Missouri. We'll drop Miles off at the Anheuser-Busch Brewery.
Yep.
He can visit all of his buddies there, and we'll hit Payne's Valley. And we need some buddies in the golf industry.
We do. We got to start making some connections.
Miles has his connections with the Anheuser-Busch team, which we have no affiliation with. It's genuinely just like what we like to drink. We like to drink Busch Light. That's mm-hmm. the page is started on that. There's no affiliation with them, but there's a great relationship that Miles has with the team there. And we need that in the golfing world. We need to maybe see if we can sit down with Tiger over at Payne's Valley and say, hey, Tiger.
Hey, man, we decided you're not our favorite golfer, but...
but you were at one point.
Do you want to be our friend?
So if any golf pros, anyone in the golf industry is looking for a couple more friends that just like to have a good time on the course, we're open for it. Send us a DM at mm-hmm. breakfast.balls, and we'd love to chat with you. Tyler?
Ryan?
Should we wrap the podcast up?
Let's do it.
Guys, thanks for listening into episode number 2 of the Breakfast Balls podcast. We hope you enjoyed this one. We talked about some of the previous videos that we've done. It's been a lot of fun. And then we talked, some more Midwest hobbies that we like to do in bow hunting and just hunting in general. So as the podcast progresses, we're gonna find out what you guys like to hear from us, whether that's hunting, whether that's watching football, whether that's UFC, which I'm a big into. We're going to figure that out. So give us some feedback. That's what's going to help us grow this podcast and ultimately give you guys the content that you want. But we enjoyed episode 2. So remember, the Breakfast Ball merch is live. It's at oubetcha.com. Oubetcha.com. We got the dad hats. We got the polos. Two different kinds of polos, 4 different colors. And then we got some more hats on the way here too that you guys are going to really enjoy. So episode 2 is in the books, guys. I am Ryan, the t-shirt guy.
And I am Tyler, the camera guy. Let's get the hell out of here.
Love you.
Hell, that's a breakfast ball.